Today is the 9th of December, 2019, Monday, so we are in Rishonim day of Perek Vav, of Sefer Devarim. And here we go, lots of Rambans to speak about. I think that's really what we're going to cover today. So in Pasuk Beis, it says, Lamantir, why are we doing mitzvos? My Pasuk Aleph is, these are the mitzvos which are going to be given, and to do in the land which you're going to go and conquer. Lamantir, as Hashem elokach, lishmor as kol chukim tamvushatav, in order to fear Hashem, and to keep all of the chukim and the mitzvos, which I'm going to command you today, all days of your life, and in order to lengthen your days. So Rashi doesn't say anything here. So the Ramban picks up on this and says, Yomer shetziva Hashem lilmod eschem atorah mitzvos chukim ha-shvetim ha-sos ba'aretz ba'avor shetiras Hashem elokacha ki ikar kol ha-mitzvos yiras Hashem zedas the Ibn Ezra. That he says, well, then why do we have all these mitzvos? In order to get to yiras Hashem. That's the way, actually I didn't look up the Ibn Ezra inside. I don't even see the Ibn Ezra on the page. Oh, there. Okay, Ibn Ezra there is on the page. But it doesn't seem to be here. Okay, maybe it's Ibn Ezra someplace else. But it's that's the idea, that's what the Ibn Ezra presents, that we do mitzvahs to get to Yiras Hashem. So it comes to Ramban and says, I don't think that's right. He says there's two things that are mentioned there. One is Laman Yiras Hashem and Laman Yarichun Yamecha, so that you'll have lengthened days. So he says those aren't the same thing. That one is to get to the Seir Hashem, and the second is in order to get to the lengthened days. I'm commanded to learn about the mitzvos and do them, so that I will then have Yiras Hashem, and then I will be able to lishmor mitzvos, to keep his mitzvos. I mean, I do the mitzvos, I learn Torah about the mitzvos, in order to that I'll have Yiras Shamayim, so that then I'll do the mitzvos. Right? Right, how does that work? It says, "Ki b'avur asos hamitzvos shetiske shiyu l'cha banim yirei shemayim." Because by me doing the mitzvos, I will then merit to have children that are yirei shemayim. V'yamdu al pnei adamal li'olam v'yamud zarachem v'samchem l'fanav kol yamim, and that they will stand on the ground forever, and they will, them and their children, will continue to keep the word of Hashem all of their days. So the second time, he says, so you're doing the mitzvah, so that you'll have Yiras Shamayim, right? So that you'll be able to do the mitzvah. So the way the Ramban seems to understand that is not just that you'll be able to do the mitzvah, so that your children will do the mitzvah, and so that will then be a continuation li'olam v'ad. Okay. And where will you do this? So the Ramban says, v'l'man yarichun yamecha ba'aretz, in the land. Shehi nachlas Hashem, which is the inheritance of Hashem, v'nei hakol tovascha, and all is it for your good, but Hashem wants everybody to be to be good, to have good things. Okay, so that is the motivation, at least according to the Ramban, of doing mitzvos. Is that you, and that it will be able to be passed on to your children, and not just for your children, but so that they'll do it, but that they'll be able to have it in the land of Eretz Yisrael as well. Then we enter in Pasuk Dalet, and then Hevav Zayin Ches is the Parsha of Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So what is so the Ramban says, Gam Bezeh Mitzvah Sheivar. This also has a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? What is that mitzvah?
Oneness of Hashem.
Yeah. The mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Ki b'dibur Anochi Hashem Elokecha yeh ha-yichud. That when he said Ani Hashem Elokecha, that demonstrated the yichud, the singularity of God. How did it recognize that? As we say in the Mechilta, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Mikan teshuva l'minim. This is an answer to the minim. This is an answer to the heretics. Why? Sheheim Omerim shtei reshuyosheim. Because they suggest that there could be two reshuyos. What does it mean, reshuyos? Two domains. That there's two domains, and that there's not just the singular entity of God, but rather there's multiple ones. So this is an answer to that. Why? Because Shekesha Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Har Sinai, Hashem got up at Har Sinai and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. So, mi micha kenegdo, did anybody argue? Right? What's the proof that there's no more than one God? Because God got up and said, "I'm the one and only," and nobody argued. So, okay, it must be that God is the one and only. That's the way the Medrash describes it. So, aval bal lebar mitzvah zu. We're going to come and explain it. So, v'hiskir osa echar aseres hadibros l'fi shehu sherash be'emuna v'chol mi she'ein amoda ba kofer be'ikr kovid avodazar. So, we're going to mention here, this is the first of the ten dibros, which is the source of all faith, and anybody who doesn't get it, or anybody who doesn't agree with it, they're considered a kofer be'ikr. So, this is sort of a description of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? The comment, sort of a commentary on it, that what does it mean, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that there's nobody else. Where do we see that? Shema, which is one short couple, so only about 20 psukim after the mentioning of the Aseres HaDibros in the previous parak. So the Ramban then continues on and says, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu V'lo Elokei Ha'umos Asid Lios Hashem Echad. That's the way Rashi understood it. Hashem, who is the our God, and not the God of other nations, in the future will be the one God for everybody. As the Pasuk tells in Zechariah, B'yom Mahu Yeh Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. That's the language of Rashi. V'yata Tzarech Lisbonim B'zeh. Now we have to understand this a little bit. Kishana HaKasuv Kan Lomar Hashem Elokeinu V'lo Amar Elokecha. Anybody ever think about this? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem, our God, Hashem is one. Okay? But who's talking here? Moshe. So it could have been Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel, Hashem, your God is one. So lest you say, well, Moshe has to include himself in that, right? I would say, right? Well, what's the very next line? V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, right? You will love Hashem, your God. All right, so which one is it? Is Moshe including himself in the group, or is Moshe excluding himself from the group? Right? I mean, how many times have we said this? Everybody ever noticed this question? Right? Why does it immediately change tenses from Elokeinu in Pasuk 1 to Elokeichem in the next, Elokecha in the very next Pasuk?
Moshe's already mastered that, this part.
Well, then, but then why is it Elokeinu?
Because he said, because Hashem is his God as well, as everyone, as our God, including himself. But as far as being able to love Hashem with
I mean, that's a commandment. So Moshe's already in on that, and you got to get better at it.
Right.
Okay, so the only issue with that is that according to the Ramban himself, what he just said is that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is its own mitzvah. Right? It's its own commandment. It's the commandment of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? So you can say, well, Moshe's still working on that? How do we understand? So he said, why did he change it? Generally, Shema Yisrael, Ata Over Hayom, right? Generally, Moshe is speaking to Bnei Yisrael. Ki Hashem Elokecha. Shema Yisrael, Atem Krovim Hayom, Ki Hashem Elokechem. Right? Most of the time, it is Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael about their God. Right? And Moshe seems to exclude himself from it. So, V'chein V'chol HaParshios, so Sheidabri Yisrael, Sheyizka Hashem Elokechem, El Hashem Elokecha, V'gam B'kan Amar V'haftas Hashem Elokecha. Right, so and here that's the way it is also. So why specifically in this parsha Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu? Val hiske biyichud Hashem Elokeinu ki asa imosha es hagedolos ves hanoros lasos lo shem tiferes. Because Hashem acted with Moshe to do the miracles and to do the amazing things to make him a name tiferes, to make him an everlasting name. So, and that's where the Ramban leaves you off. So, what was the answer just there? So, in the Shavel Ramban, so his footnote explains sort of the next sentence. And therefore, in order so that you not be confused and say that Moshe was making himself a deity, right, at least one time, it had to be clear that Moshe is excluding himself. Moshe is with Bnei Yisrael. I mean, most of the time, Moshe is commanding Bnei Yisrael, respect your God, respect your God, respect your God. Right, but one time Moshe had to make it clear that that's not me. Right, I'm not that God. I'm not part of that God. I'm not connected to that God. I'm separate from that God. And when is that one time? So this parsha, the parsha of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that Moshe made sure to include himself with Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Right, that's what the Ramban says. You could keep your eye open and see if there's any others, but the Ramban gives...
I say it's New York.
Right. So, fine. So then the Ramban continues on and says, V'nei dalet echad gedol. He says, by the way, the dalet of echad is big. Right, it's not just an illusion, it's big. If you look at all mezuzahs, so it's written the same way, that the dalet is big. So why is that? That we want to make it an everlasting, make it clear. So therefore, we sort of make an emphasis on the idea that it's a chad. Okay, and then he goes back and talks about Vihaftas Hashem Elokecha. That's like the parsha of the rest of the book where Moshe is talking at Bnei Yisrael as opposed to being part of Bnei Yisrael. Yes. Where is that? Sforno mentioned that.
Shema, the first word.
No, I know, but I'm saying the Rishon mentioning that. So the ayin is big and the dalet is big. The reason the ayin is big, I think the Sforno mentioned it. Where?
Spells a word. Aid, witness. It spells the word witness.
Oh, okay. Where do you see that? You're just seeing it with your eyes.
The commentary comments
that you're going to be a witness, and therefore the ayin and dal go together. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The Sforno says that as the dalet is big because the idea of yichud, the idea of being singular, and the ayin is big. Shoshma gadol nirmas sheroy lepikuach in ayin, that it should be. That it's fit for those that have discerning eye. Hagdil ein baze, and you should look into it more. In order to have kavana on the dalet, that one should figure out why the dalet is big. The ayin is big to figure out why the dalet is big, and the dalet is big in order to show the yichud of the name. Okay.
I thought it came earlier as well. No, this is the
parsha. We said the word Shema Yisrael a few times. That doesn't, the words appear, but the Shema that we say is part of our Tefillah, this is the one spot, which is why it is third or fourth in the Tefillin parsha. It's not the first thing, it's the fourth thing, because we go in the order that's written in the Torah, at least according to Rashi, the order that's written in the Torah from left to right. So you have the two Shmos Parshios, 1, 2, and then the third one is Shema, and the fourth one is V'haya. Rabbi Natan switches the V'haya and the Shema. That's because he thinks the Shema should be the bookended the other way. That's the difference between Rashi and Rabbi Natan Tefillin. Maybe we'll save that for when we get up to V'haya, why he would do that. Okay, so there's much to say on Shema. I wanted to that we get stuck there, but let's go to the next Ramban. The Ramban on Pasuk Yud. So in Pasuk Yud, it says, V'haya kivyecha Hashem Elokecha. This is after Shema. So Hashem is going to bring you into the land, which He promised your forefathers, Yitzhak, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, to give you Arim gedolos v'tovos asher lovanisa, large cities and good things which you did not build. And Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Uvatim aleim kol tuv, houses filled of good stuff which you did not fill. Uvoros hachatsuvim asher lo chatzavta, and cisterns that were hallowed which you did not you. And krumim v'zesim asher lo natata, and then olive groves and vineyards which you did not plant. V'yachalta v'savata, and therefore you're going to be able to eat, and you're going to be satisfied. So those three things. So as we've talked about already in the past, there is a idea being taught here, which the Gemara picks up on Maseches Chulin, that one is permitted to actually consume non-kosher food when they went into Eretz Yisrael. That's what's being told here. So when you come into the land, you're going to come across these things, and you should ishamer lecha, and it sounds like you'll eat it and you will be satiated in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and then watch out that you're going to forget Hashem when you do so. So you got to be a little nervous about it, but that's being taught as being okay. Now there is a bit of a question as to, okay, so what is okay? What is permitted? And what exactly are those all referring to? Right? So the Rabban quotes it here. So Yaskir Bekan, Ki Barabus Hatova, Yiskur Yimei Anav, that here in the when we're talking about all the good things, you remember the bad parts when you were in Egypt. And you should not forget Hashem. He brought you out of slavery for all the goodness that you're having now. But rather remember His kindness and go in front of Him like a slave in front of their master. The Aldas Rabosenu. So according to our Rebbeim, who's that? It's talking about the Gemara and Chulin here. So Yirmo's ode. Ki hatova hu esher yimtza b'batim hamuleim mutter. Afilu havu sham dvarim haner sarim b'tor. That the things that you're going to find in their houses are going to be permissible to you, even though there are things that were prohibited by the Torah. Kagon, for example, kadle d'chaziri. The kadle d'chaziri is referring to the backs of the necks of the pigs. That's how we understand it. So you can even eat chazer, right, pork. And you could, and okrumim netuim kalayim, or vineyards, from vineyards that were planted in a kalayim fashion, orla, right? Or orla is fruits that are still within the first 3 years of it being grown. So all of these things are referring to dvarim isurim, things that are prohibited, and yet they're being permitted to you. Yet they're being permitted to you for this sort of like a one-time deal. Right, that feel of boros, even the pits. You talk in shayy bechatzivas on davar aser b'tiach asher behem. And even these pits, it could be that there's something aser in there. Oh, hisker haboros derech melitza, mahasker ribu yatov. Or maybe it's just talking about the pits in terms of like, look how it's filled with stuff that we're talking about how good it is. V'hishlo sam b'chol anim so aretz b'mutter v'eser. Therefore, it means everything you're going to find in the land, whether good or whether bad. Right? So why is that okay? You come into Eretz Yisrael, the first thing that they're going to eat is pork, right? So for a lot of people, it's the first thing they come into Eretz Yisrael is that they go eat at McDonald's or, you know. But that's, in theory, a kosher McDonald's, hopefully, right? But this is talking about not kosher food. So why all of a sudden is B'nai Yisrael allowed to come in and eat non-kosher food? So it comes to Ramban, Nehutru lehen kol ha'isurim zulasi Yisrael avodah zarah, that they permitted everything except for things that were avodah zarah related. Kamoshi Varaod, as we're going to say in the next parak, Lo tachmod kesef zavaleim lekach ta'alach. Don't be jealous of the gold and the silver and take it for you. Lekach yaskir kan beparsha she'achreichim yizvulchem titzeyu. And also mentions in the parsha right after this, you're going to smash their altars. La'abid avodah zarah umisham sheha. In order to destroy their avodah zarah and the things used for it. V'shar kol anim sever etz mutter. And everything else that's going to find in the land, you'll find the land is mutter. V'yaheter hazeh ad she'achlu shalal oyveihem. Right, this heter is even that you can eat their spoils. And it sounds like this was during the 7 years that they were conquering the land. There's some kind of special dispensation for, you know, you want to say just those 7 years. 7 years is a long time. And Bnei Yisrael was permitted to consume these non-kosher foods. But I mentioned in the past, this came up during the Israeli War for Independence, that when the English abandoned their places, so they found something called billy meat, I think that's what it was called, some kind of canned beef, billy beef, that's what they called it. It was some kind of canned beef that came from England for the soldiers, and it was like canned, it was healthy food. And there was in Yerushalayim, there was a significant, very significant food shortage at that time. So the question came to Rav Goren, and sort of only in Shulam, Yehuda Avner in his memoirs records that during the War for Independence, he was in Yerushalayim, and everyone was struggling. And he said he took a ride to Tel Aviv at some point, you know, on one of the caravans, on one of the, what do they call it, with all the, well, when they had a lot of them in a row.
Caravan.
Yeah, but caravan, it's a different word that they used. So he shows up in Tel Aviv, and it's like beautiful. Everybody's like outside in cafes and eating and enjoying themselves. And meanwhile, during the War for Independence and in Yerushalayim, things are difficult and brutal. So that was the shaila that was raised. So Rabbi Goren wanted to permit the use of this meat based on the principle of kadli d'chaziri, based on the fact that we're we're Jews and we're reconquering the land of Israel and stated in Devarim that when we're doing so, we're permitted to take the spoils of the land left behind by the enemy. That was his suggestion. Ultimately, he was not matir everybody just to have it, but he permitted the people that were hospitalized to have this meat. I mean, the question was like sent to every soldier. This is what they could use. So I think he didn't permit that, but those that were wounded and needed the extra protein, so he permitted the use of those of this meat for that purpose. So the Ramban says, special dispensation that was given, you don't need any other, and it sounds like everyone would be able to. I mean, B'nai Yisrael came in, the women and children, even those that weren't fighting and weren't at the front, they could all consume the stuff. What? Yeah. So comes the, but then he quotes from the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim u'Milchamoseihem. That's the last section of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. So he says there, Chalutzei Tzava. He says, no. The army, Mishiyichnesu Begvul Hagayim, when they came into the enemy territory, the Yeshu Mehem, and settled there, meaning sort of occupied the area. So Mutr Lehem Lechel Nevelos Shreifos Uvasar Chazir Vechios. But they're permitted to eat all the Nevelos Shreifos, and Chazir and everything. Imra V'lo Matzah Ma'yechel. If they were hungry and couldn't find what to eat. Ella Machil Meilu Asurim. Except for this. V'chein Shosei Yayin Esach. They could even have the Yayin Esach. When Piyashmul Lamdu Uvatim Leim Kol Tuv Arfi Chazir Vechios Behem. Therefore, even the things from the pigs. So comes the Ramban and says, so it comes to the Rambam and says, no. What was permitted here? What's permitted here is if they're hungry, they have to eat. So what are they going to eat? They're permitted to eat this, right? So what's the question? What's the question on that, right? So that Rambam is easier to swallow, no pun intended, right? But that Rambam is easier to get, right? It's bikuach nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to consume it, right? So what's the problem? What's going to be the question on that Rambam, the question on that understanding, right? What's the Chiddush? What's the Chiddush? What, if the Rambam is coming here and telling you, if everybody's starving and there's nothing else to eat, so you're allowed to eat this. Well, obviously I'm allowed to eat it. You have Jews in enemy lands, or at this point enemy lands that they're trying to conquer, mm-hmm. and it's bikuach nefesh. They have to eat something. So what are so what are they going to do? So it can't just be to say, so that's the Ramban's question. He says, it's not just because it's bikuach nefesh or they're starving that they would be permitted. Even after they conquered the cities, hagdolos v'tovos, that were big and great, right? So they have access to their grocery stores. They can eat whatever they want in the grocery stores, right? Why do they specifically eat these things? And it's not for every... not for everybody who goes anywhere as a soldier, rather in the land, which Hashem promised. That's what's permitted. And even the thing that the Rambam permitted, he says that's not true. Meaning the idea of drinking Yayin Nesach, says the Ramban, that was never allowed. Because what's his theory? The Ramban's theory is that only Avodah Zarah things were prohibited, but anything else was permissible. So what's Yayin Nesach? Yayin Nesach is wine that was used in the service of Avodah Zarah. So he says, that's not okay. He says, and if you're going to tell me, the only thing you're saying, we'll let you have the Stam Yinim. We'll let you have the non-kosher wine that there's no hashgacha on it, which we don't think was ever actually used for Avodah Zarah. He says, you don't need a pasuk to permit that. That's only Nesed Durabanan. He says, why do we need that? Yisuri Torah, Hutru, Gzeir, Shal, Nevarim, Yu, Asuris, right? If we're permitting Yisuri Torah, we're going to prohibit gezeros. So rather, the Ramban says, as he said. So how do we understand what the Rambam was saying? I mean, how does the Rambam understand these psukim? What special dispensation is being given out here that would not be permitted under the normal rules of pikuach nefesh? This is a good question. Maybe we'll save for another time. I mean, there's always a sort of a question about things that are learnt, like questions in the... For instance, in Hilchos Lashon Hara, so it says that you're permitted. What was it? It's with regards to Miriam. Then when Miriam said about Moshe, the Lashon Hara quote that she said about Moshe was saying, "Why is he any different than us? You know, we're Nevi'im." She says to Aaron, "Right, you and I, we're both Nevi'im, and we're both still married. So why does Moshe think that he's separate?" Right. So the Chavetz Chaim quotes from from Elchanan. No, I saw it in the Chalkos Binyamin, who quotes from Elchanan in the Kovetz Maimarim. He asks, wait a second, how could Miriam not believe that Moshe was a different, Moshe's prophecy was on a different level, right? Isn't that one of the Ikari Emunah, right? One of the 13 Ikari Emunah, principles of faith, right? Say it in Yigdal, Lokam Kemoshe Od, there's nobody else like Moshe, right? One of the essentials of our faith is that Moshe was a separate level of Nebuah than everyone else. So how could Miriam not have believed that? So Rav Elchanan answers, no, that's when it started. Meaning, it became one of the principles of faith when Hashem came to Miriam and told her, recognize that Moshe's level of Nebuah is different than you. Right? So it's a little bit of a, what's it called? What's the term? When you have the times mixed up.
Anachronism?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an anachronism to, it's an anachronistic question. So at that point, then it became prohibited. So you know, I could make maybe the same case here. Well, maybe, I would also argue that that soldiers sometimes have a hard time realizing that it's pikuach nefesh, right? That when a soldier is gonna say, well, we're not gonna say, oh, any soldier, any time, anywhere is under levels of pikuach nefesh. Right? We don't say that. We tell soldiers when to try to keep Shabbos, etc. So it's not like a blanket. But sometimes they need, so if that's the case, so you tell them, all right, well, you need to eat something, this is at the front, this is all you have to eat. They're like, well, I'm not eating that. Right? That's pig. Right? I'm not eating that. I eat pikuach nefesh. Nah, I'm okay. Well, no. You need to eat that. Right? You need to eat something, and that's the only thing that's available. So maybe that's what the Rambam's answer is. Maybe we'll get back to it at some point later in the week. One more idea here. Yeah. And so in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the Pasuk Tazayin, verse 16, it says, "Lo sinasu es Hashem Elokeichem kasher nisisem b'masa." That you should not test Hashem like you tested him at Masa. So what does that mean, that we're not going to test Hashem? What is that test that we are referring to? So comes the Ramban and says, here it is. Perish kasher nisi, as you test him at Masa. Shalom Tomer, don't say, im yish Hashem bekirbenu, lasos lanu nisim, oshin nitzach biyosim ovdim lefanav nishba lechem niyatovim, nishba tereso. Don't say that, oh, if Hashem is with us and he does for us miracles, and we're successful, so then we'll observe the Torah. I mean, don't make it conditional. Right? Don't say, oh, yeah, sure, Hashem, I'll go to Shacharis tomorrow if you make it that I win the lottery tonight, and I'll go to Shacharis tomorrow. Right? What? God, you can't make that happen, right? So that's not appropriate. Ki hakavana sham kachaisa shim yirusha Hashem yitin lahem mayim b'neis ba'osu yirecho achar v'midbar v'imlo yazvuhu. Right? Their kavana was is that if we see Hashem does a miracle for us in the midbar, we'll follow along, and if not, guess what? We're out of here, right? We're going to take the first Uber back to Egypt. So v'nechshav lahem la'avon gadol. But by the way, that was considered a sin at that point at Masa. That was considered a sin as well, because what they had, Hashem hadn't done enough miracles for them yet. Ki acharei nis amis hatzlam be'osos mosi ki Moshe navi Hashem davar Hashem bi'epa b'fiu b'emes ein royal asos od shum devar l'nisayim. Right? They already saw all these miracles and stuff when they left Egypt. They know that Moshe is telling the truth as a navi, so it's not fit ein royal asos. He shouldn't have to do more for them as a test. And one who does so, they're not testing the Navi, they're testing Hashem. And therefore, it became prohibited for all generations to do this kind of thing. Because it's not Hashem's job to do a miracle for every single person, when every single time, whenever anybody wants it. Hashem does miracles when appropriate, but sometimes Hashem is not going to do a miracle for you. So you have no right to make your avodas Hashem contingent on the appearance of a miracle for you when you demand that it happen. That's not the way it works. And therefore, l'kach amar, he says, shekasuf kalakan, shemur tishmah, so keep my mitzvah, shem anisim, she'asal lechem mikvar, yosachem le'edus, kigon pesach v'matzah v'asukah. Right? You'll do the mitzvahs now, and what are you going to use as testimony? Why should you do it? Because Hashem did miracles in the past. So you know Hashem is capable of doing the miracles, and Hashem chooses not to at this point. There might also be, there's probably also a reason for that to be the case. But to just make it contingent one on another, right? So that's not appropriate. And therefore, the pasuk tells us, Lo tenasu es Hashem Elokeichem. That you should not go and test God. One more comment that the Rambam makes. The Rambam says in a few places. Vasisa yashar v'tov b'nei Hashem. The next pasuk, you'll do what is right and the good in the eyes of Hashem. So the Rambam says, v'zeh inyun gadol. Why? This is an important thing. What the Rambam is saying is that Hashem is not just to do mitzvahs correctly, but this is sort of a catch-all. Right? Act with good midos. Why? Says the Rambam, l'fishi e'efshar lahaskir b'torah kol anhagos ha'adam im shcheina v'reya v'chol masna v'masna. Because it is impossible for the Torah to mention all the actions that will take place with neighbors and friends and all the burdens that people will have. Right? It's impossible to figure out all the scenarios that will take, that will come up, that will require good midos and acting in appropriate ways. B'dam l'mechaveru. Now, I always caught that as a surprise. It's impossible. What do you mean it's impossible? Well, nothing's impossible. But okay, the way we understand the Torah as being a document that is written for us to be able to read, right? So it's impossible for everything to be for every scenario to be mentioned. Right? He quotes a whole bunch of examples. Right? There are many examples of directions that Hashem gives in terms of interpersonal relationships. But then he comes back at the end and says, yeah, but do what is right and good. Meaning we're not going to be able to cover every single scenario. So you should, based on the pattern that emerges as to what Hashem wants in terms of interpersonal relationships, so make sure you continue on and do that even in scenarios that perhaps are not laid out explicitly in the Torah itself. Okay, maybe we'll stop here and pick up tomorrow would be Halacha Day. All right, have a good day. I'm thinking.